is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Father Stephen Roth, Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Today we're going to be talking to Father Kevin Ewing, who is the chaplain at Towson University. We're going to be asking him some questions about faith and college students. Welcome to the show, Father Kevin.
Thank you, Father Stephen. Good to be with you.
Great to have you on the show. Father Kevin, tell us, how long have you been at Towson University and what has it been like to be a chaplain?
All right, sure. So I've been the chaplain here. This is going into my second year. So I was made the chaplain in July of 2021. And, you know, having 1 year under my belt as college chaplain, I can tell you it is, I think, one of the most critical ministries that we offer as, you know, as priests is to walk with our young people, and especially in being able to kind of walk with them in their first taste of independent life, you know, kind of the to be able to see the freedoms that they get to enjoy, but also the responsibility that comes with that. And so to kind of be on hand, to be a source of support and encouragement as they try to figure that out for themselves, figure out where the Lord is calling them and what he's inviting them to be in this life. So I've seen a lot of fulfillment and beauty in that opportunity to explore that with the students. There's also just a lot of challenge. Our young people are facing, you know, crises and just difficulties that certainly I never imagined in my college experience 12 years ago, but certainly challenges that really are shaking the bedrock of our faith, our society. And so to just be able to help them navigate some of those challenges, potential pitfalls, it's very humbling.
Father Kevin, it's interesting that you use the word challenge, because I have a quote here in front of me. Pope Francis was speaking to some college students, and the quote was, "There are several challenges that you university students are called to confront with inner strength and evangelical courage." So I guess two questions from that quote. First, can you be specific? What would you say might be the top two or three challenges that you see college students face on a daily basis, or just overall in your work with them?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first challenge is questions of identity. And I'm not necessarily talking about the questions that have kind of come up for us as a society, but I just mean questions of identity in general. You know, being able to recognize that I am a beloved son or daughter of a loving and merciful Father, you know, of a loving Savior. That is something that I think has kind of been drowned out or maybe muted in our world today. And so to try and just recapture that, maybe that lost or that hidden identity I think, the first challenge to be able to tackle. Because it's really through maybe embracing that identity that we then start to try and address all the other challenges that a college student faces today. You know, to be able to kind of untangle some of the, you know, the webs and the knots in our life, in our relationships, that kind of. So the first challenge is just like is recapturing that personal identity, that individual identity as a beloved child of God. I would say the next maybe challenge is a relational one. You know, and some of this maybe comes out of the situation that we've been in with the pandemic, where, you know, you almost had to rebuild social networks. You had to learn how to talk to people again. And You know, all of our relationships, I think they experience friction from time to time, whether it's, you know, with our parents or with our siblings, with our college roommate, and even, you know, that friction that people might experience from time to time in terms of the body of Christ, you know, that maybe there's a teaching with the church that I just don't quite understand or that doesn't resonate with my own life experience. And so to try and be able to say, what are those relationships that I can build upon? And that even when they are sometimes tested or subject to frustration or friction, you know, how do I invite God's grace to heal some of that? You know, so again, kind of starting with our individual identity, moving to our kind of relational identity is I think the biggest challenge. And then, you know, finally, just being able to have an energy and enthusiasm, a vitality as a church. You know, I think being able to celebrate joyfully what God calls each and every one of us to call us to be saints, and to be able to see that witnessed to and carried out in the daily grind, and how to not lose our joy and our vitality when, you know, classes are asking a lot of us, or the world is throwing a lot at us, our relationships are calling a lot out of us, to be able to just be joyful, serene, and enthusiastic about what's coming down the pike at us.
So it sounds like that's probably about 3 or 4 full-time jobs to manage all of those different dynamics and elements. But all kidding aside, the quote that I referenced earlier, Pope Francis says to draw on inner strength and evangelical courage. What would you say, practically speaking, you're doing as chaplain to be able to tap into those two aspects to counteract the challenges that you just mentioned to it, or you just referenced?
Yeah, you know, kind of the inner strength, that courage that we're invited to have, you know, some of it is as easily recognizable as the student who is reluctant to lecture at mass, you know, and we're not a huge community here, you know, so it's as maybe as concrete in our lives as getting up and proclaiming the word of God that's written right in front of us. But sometimes that can be a heavy lift. That can be a tough ask, you know. But I think being able to, you know, to kind of be faithful in small matters maybe invites us, kind of opens the door for us to take those bigger steps, you know, kind of those extraordinary asks of witnessing to our faith. You know, so if I can maybe be comfortable or at least approach a level of comfort with being able to stand up in front of my peers and proclaim the word of God, then maybe also I can then take it upon myself to invite somebody to come join me for Sunday Mass. You know, sometimes that is a big ask, but, you know, to encourage the students not to be afraid to share their faith, not to be afraid to make the sign of the cross and offer a blessing when you're having your meal in the student dining hall, you know, to be bold, to be heroic, to be courageous, you know, especially when those expressions or those manifestations of our faith, of our relationship to Jesus, can sometimes be met with a sideways glance or something like that.
Father Kevin, just one more question before we take a break. Any advice to parents or grandparents that might be listening that are concerned about the faith of their children or grandchildren, and they're just not sure how to approach them? Any advice that you would share?
A lot of times, at least with our young people, and I know this can be true of a lot of young people's experience, that if their parents ask them to do something, that might become the last thing that they want to do in their lives. And so that can even be true of our experience of faith. My mom or dad tells me, hey, you got to make sure you get to Mass and, you know, do all your chores and whatever, you know, I'm going to maybe balk at that idea. But to definitely just take an interest in what your child's passions are, their interests are, and to try and be able to kind of connect that to the good news of Jesus Christ. I also think being able to find support, not just in the parents instilling the faith in the child. I think the household church is a predominant thing, but especially when young people are navigating those challenges, to have somebody else in their life who could be a trusted friend, somebody to rely upon and encourage them in their walk of faith. So it could be a sibling or a mentor, a friend from school.
Terrific. Well, I think this is the start to a fascinating conversation. I have a lot more questions for you, but we're going to need to take a little break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Father Kevin Ewing, chaplain of Towson University. I'm Father Stephen Roth, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese's efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Archbishop William E. Lurie will administer the Sacrament of Confirmation October 23rd to baptized practicing Catholics who have never received the sacrament. The liturgy, to be held at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Baltimore at 3 p.m., will be celebrated in English and Spanish. Those undergoing the rite of Christian initiation of adults who need to be confirmed should receive the sacrament at their parish's Easter Vigil, according to Julie Grace Mills, director of the Archdiocesan Office of Divine Worship. The group confirmation is especially for those baptized practicing Catholics who have fallen through the cracks for some reason. Youths who have completed confirmation formation at their parishes but who were unable to attend their parish celebrations will also be confirmed at the Basilica, as will a few individuals from smaller parishes that did not hold confirmation liturgies. Participants may register through their parish. Archbishop Lurie will celebrate a group confirmation on Pentecost at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Homeland. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. House sponsors of a new bill to protect pregnancy centers said the measure would require the Biden administration to publicly disclose how it is handling the investigation and prosecution of the perpetrators of violent attacks on pregnancy resource centers around the country. Nearly 70 acts of violence against such centers have been recorded since May, when a draft opinion of the U.S. Supreme Court decision in the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization case was leaked. The court's June 24th decision in the Dobbs case ultimately overturned Roe v. Wade, which had legalized abortion nationwide. The ruling allows states to decide their own laws regarding abortion. Many of the centers have been firebombed, vandalized, and graffitied. Among its provisions, the Protect Pregnancy Care Centers Act would require the Inspector Generals of the Departments of Justice and Homeland Security to investigate and disclose to Congress information on the Biden administration's response to the surging violence, including details gathered on groups that have claimed responsibility for the attacks and the number of prosecutions initiated against the perpetrators. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
Every child enters the world with limitless potential. Potential of mind. Potential of body. Potential of spirit. If there was only a place where that potential could be nurtured and challenged every day, where the limits of greatness, once unseen, could now be within reach. Catholic schools, rise above.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbalt.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Father Stephen Roth. Today we're talking with Father Kevin Ewing, chaplain of Towson University. Father Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Father Kevin, in our last segment, we spoke a lot about the challenges that college students face, and you gave us some advice for parents or grandparents that were listening. How about more from a practical standpoint? Tell us about what does the daily life look like for a college chaplain? Do you celebrate Mass? What do you do on campus?
Sure. So we are blessed to have a Newman Center, basically a home for our Catholic campus ministry here at Towson University. It is basically run by the Archdiocese of Baltimore. It's not affiliated or supported by the university, but it's a way to kind of have our base of operations right here present just across the street from the university. And so to be available to the students just about every day. So we have the sacraments available every day. We celebrate Mass basically Sunday through Friday. Reconciliation is available anytime by appointment. We also have times throughout the weekday. We have adoration Monday through Friday. And so, you know, our sacramental opportunities are many throughout the course of the week. But then we also, you know, kind of have just that opportunity for community interaction, for involvement, for engagement, for fellowship. We have a weekly Newman night on Thursday nights. So our students come together for Mass, for a shared meal, and then for either a fun activity or a formational talk. In fact, this Thursday is Ask Rev Kev Anything. So I'm prepared to be stumped by a lot of awesome questions from our students. That's why this interview is good preparation. We also have Bible studies available to the students. We have focused missionaries who are here on campus, recent college grads from all over the country who have come to Towson University to evangelize, to do missionary activity. And so they coordinate a lot of our Bible studies, but also kind of our on-campus presence. So we're blessed to kind of have a lot of different means of interacting with the students and of being able to see God's grace at work in the sacraments and just in our relationships with others.
Great. I know that you listed several different activities. One thing that you forgot, though, is I can testify that you make a pretty good beef brisket. Are you willing to tell our listeners the recipe?
That is a secret recipe, but I will tell you, I think everyone should have a smoker for good grilling purposes.
Well, all kidding aside, it has been really a great privilege and blessing to be able to be involved with you in your campus ministry to celebrate Mass and to get to know the students at the Newman Center. Having visited several times, I think it made me realize that you needed a whole lot of help to get things in better shape at the Newman Center. Being a one-man show, I realize is not easy. Can you talk a little bit about the project that you and I both embarked upon this past Saturday?
Absolutely, yeah. So Father Stephen, we came up with the awesome initiative that as the seminarians for the Archdiocese of Baltimore typically offer a day of service where they come together to complete some kind of service activity, some kind of service initiative. Brother Stephen had the suggestion to come to the Towson Newman Center. The facilities that we have here, I was mentioning before, were based out of a farmhouse that is 125 years old. It was built in 1896, and it's had seven decades of college kids running through it. And so the facility is, you know, certainly showing its age. The project was to try and renovate parts of the Newman Center to essentially give it a good facelift by putting some paint on the walls, by being able to remove junk that can sometimes accumulate, especially in an environment that is as, you know, transitional as college life, you know, when you get a new congregation every year. And so the seminarians this past Saturday spent the entire day at the Newman Center. We had just an awesome group of seminarians willing to pitch in wherever it was needed. They managed to fill an entire 30-foot dumpster all the way to the brim with just, you know, junk that has piled up over the years. They painted 8 rooms of the Newman Center, gave it, you know, just kind of a fresh look. And they also kind of helped to beautify our campus facility. You know, our students make good use of the outdoor space. And so we want to try and make it safe, welcoming, something that they're going to want to come back to. And I really think that was accomplished in a great deal in just a few short hours of work with a lot of hands pitching in.
Even though I think all the guys were quite tired at the end of the day, there was an inner joy for sure. The guys were very proud of what they accomplished, and it was incredible to see right before their very eyes such a difference from what they saw when they first arrived to when they left. I'm just curious, has there been any reaction from focused missionaries of the Towson students coming back to the Newman Center and seeing the change, knowing that seminarians spent the day working there?
There has, actually, yeah. You know, I think what I notice is, you know, when you're able to take pride in your surroundings, whether that, you know, is the physical space, you know, to be able to, like I said, feel safe, welcomed, supported by your surroundings, it lends itself to maybe greater participation or just greater ownership. My hope, you know, kind of in the long term is that this really is a space that is kind of a home away from home for our students. And it is something that they can take pride in, that they can see as a space that they are proud to call their own. Certainly, I think those efforts from Saturday kind of lend themselves to the students seeing that people want to make a positive imprint on what we have to offer here. And they respond to that. They want to be able to, you know, maybe pick up after themselves or maybe be able to paint the next room or, you know, just kind of take care of this beautiful gift that we've been given. So I really appreciate that effort.
Father Kevin, if someone is listening today and they're thinking, you know, maybe I can show up to the Newman Center with a paintbrush or help to fill a dumpster, but I want to help. And obviously the best and most important way is praying for your wonderful ministry and the students that you care for. But how about from a tangible standpoint, is there any avenue for someone to make a contribution or to support your ministry in that way?
There is, and I appreciate you asking. Yes. So as I mentioned before, our ministry is, you know, again, provided by the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And so we do rely on the support and the generosity of, you know, our parish families, of our archdiocesan family, of our school families. So if someone wants to make a donation, they can visit our website, www.tucatholic.com. And there's a support us link at the top of the screen. It'll take you to a donation page. And there's also the opportunity to provide a mailing. Our address is 7909 York Road, Towson, Maryland, 21204. But I also, as you mentioned, just encourage folks to pray for our college student. They need all the prayers they can get. Maybe follow some of the good activities that we're doing. You can follow us on social media, Towson_Catholic on Instagram and TU Catholic Campus Ministry on Facebook. But just to kind of take that interest and offer that prayerful support goes a long way.
Terrific. Well, I'm sure many people will respond to that. You're doing wonderful work. Just in our last minute or so, our listeners aren't aware that you're also a chaplain for the Orioles. So will you send any autographs back to a potential donor as the chaplain to the Orioles?
Oh, man. Well,
or autograph a ball or something.
You know, I did receive a game ball for my first mass celebrated at Oriole Park. So that might be a collector's item at this point. I don't know. But yeah, no, my autograph ain't worth too much these days. But It is fulfilling a lifelong dream of being part of the team, you know?
Well, I held this to the end, but I'm a Yankees fan.
Oh, my God. I'll pray for you.
Well, once again, our guest today has been Father Kevin Ewing. He's the chaplain at Towson University. Father Kevin, thank you for your wonderful work at the university. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm Father Stephen Roth. Thanks for listening.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbelt.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.